Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis talks through Masa B'lo Yadav and Or HaHaman L'Vorach Mordechai. The Gemara had recorded the famous statement of Rava, Amar Rava Machai Vinish L'Vsumei B'Puria Ad Lo Yadav and Or HaHaman L'Vorach Mordechai, that a person should get inebriated on Purim until he does know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. So Tosis quotes as follows: Birishalmi Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther Aruram Kol Rishoyim Bruchim Kol Yehudim. These words, of course, are familiar to us from the famous piyut Shoshanas Yaakov, which is recited after the reading of the Megillah, which the Rishalmi records. The Achronim point out that the exact text that Tosis is quoting from the Rishalmi is does not appear in our Yerushalmi. The text that Tosis quotes appears in the Masechta Sofrim. And the Rishalmi elaborates that not only do we say Or HaHaman and Baruch Mordechai, but we also state Arura Zeresh and Brucha Esther. The curse is the wife of Haman Zeresh, and blessed is Esther, of course, the heroine of the whole story. Arurim Kol Rishoyim, cursed are all the wicked. Bruchim Kol Yehudim, blessed are all the Jews. Our version that we say in Shoshanas Yaakov is actually Arurim Kol Rishoyim, Bruchim Kol Tzadikim. So, what exactly does Tosis mean by quoting this Rishalmi? Meaning that the Gemara says Lo Yadav Ein Or HaHaman L'Vorach Mordechai. So what? We're also not supposed to know the difference between Arur Zeresh and Brucha Esther. So several of the other Rishonim, the Ran, the Meiri, others explain, and this touches upon the topic of what exactly does that mean to get so drunk that you don't even know the difference between the wickedness of Haman, who's deserving a curse, and the blessedness and righteousness of Mordechai, who's deserving of a blessing. We show him ask that normally the Torah prohibits drunkenness and abhors it. And so much bus had written about this in the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Poskim and the Sifri Chassidus. Certainly it's not our topic for now to go into that. But what Tosis seems to be driving at, similar to at least the Ran and the Meiri, is that a person is supposed to be engaged in simcha through drinking wine, which leads to a state where, when reciting that particular piyut of Shoshanas Yaakov, which states within it Or HaHaman and Baruch Mordechai, that one doesn't really know what one is saying. Well, the different formulations that I saw in the Rishonim as to exactly what that means, so what exactly you're not going to be able to do concerning that piyut. The Meiri seems to say that you don't know what you're up to. You don't know whether you're up to Or HaHaman or whether you're up to Baruch Mordechai. And the Ran seems to say he used the language not my malomar, but my ka'amar, that you don't necessarily understand what you're saying. Okay, but either way, the Tosis and the Ran and the Meiri all seem to be going with the same approach, that the Or HaHaman Baruch Mordechai doesn't mean literally that you don't know that Haman is cursed and that Mordechai is blessed, but that you wouldn't be able to have total comprehension, that you wouldn't be able to recite that particular song on Purim properly. The Mishnah, which begins the series of the Ein Bains, distinguishing between various differences in halacha, building off of the original Ein Bain between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So now the Gemara gets involved in all kinds of tangential topics, taking a tour through Kol Torah Kula. Ein Bain Yom Tov L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh B'Vad, that the only distinction in Yom Tov and Shabbos is the fact that on Shabbos we're not allowed to do all malacha, and then on Yom Tov we're not allowed to do malachos, except for those that deal with preparation of food. So Tosis comments that clearly that's not the only distinction in Yom Tov and Shabbos. Tzorich Lomar, one has to say, the Hochi Perusho, that this is what the Mishnah means. It's narrowing the scope of what way it's distinguishing between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ein shum malacha asura b'Shabbos. Shalote asura liyom tov ela ochel nevesh b'lvad. There's no malacha that's prohibited on Shabbos that would not be asur on Yom Tov, except those malachos having to do with food. But there are other distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov, namely concerning the severity of punishment. That Shabbos, one who violates it, is chayv misas skila of Beis Din. And Yom Tov is a quote-unquote ordinary negative commandment, which of course carries with it the penalty of Malchus.
The Mishnah had stated, "Ain ben yamtiv l'shabbos halochol nefesh b'vad," that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do any malacha, and on yamtiv you're allowed to do malachos having to do with food. And the Gemara was medayek that if that's the only distinction between Shabbos and yamtiv, that the malachos of food are mutter on yamtiv and not on Shabbos, so hol einyan machshirei ochol nefesh sevez hashavin, that regarding not direct food preparation, but doing malacha to items that are necessary in the preparation of food, such as sharpening a knife, or fixing an oven, etc., it's called machshirei ochol nefesh zeveh shoven, that both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov both are aser. In other words, that on Yom Tov we're only allowed to do food malachas, not malachas having to do with the utensils that are necessary to utilize in the preparation of food. And that in the Machlokas Tanoim, and our Mishnah is taking a stance in that debate. Masnisin Loker of Yehuda, then the Gemara proceeds to record a Braisa that spells out that Machlokas, that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Machshiri Ochol Nefesh, even doing Malacha to the Kalim, the utensils that are necessary in the preparation of food, is also mutar, such as we mentioned before, sharpening a knife, repairing an oven, so on and so forth. And the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda, maintain that it's aser. So the Gemara quotes various drashos as to how each position develops their particular viewpoint. And the Gemara concludes that even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows machshirei ochol nefesh on Yom Tov, but it's only machshirei ochol nefesh she'i efshar mibo'od yom, that you didn't have the ability to repair it on Erev Yom Tov, such as where the knife became dull on Yom Tov itself. But if the knife could have been sharpened on Erev Yom Tov, it was efshar mibo'od yom, it was efshar on Erev Yom Tov, so then you know how to do it on Yom Tov itself. So according to the Chachamim, machshirei ochol nefesh are always aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, machshirei ochol nefesh are mutar if you could not have done it on Erev Yom Tov, e'efshar, and are asur if it's efshar from Erev Yom Tov you could have. So Tosis's topic is, what is the status of ochol nefesh itself, of actual food preparation that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov? Do we make a distinction there as well, that if it could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, it may not be done on Yom Tov? Or when it comes to food preparation, it's always mutar, regardless of whether it could have been done on Erev Yom Tov or not. So Tosis writes, Mashma, mi delo, now Tosis has the word pligi, the Bach changes it to maflig, which makes the Tosis read more smoothly. Mashma, the implication is, mi delo maflig, ela b'machshirin, since the Rabbi Yehuda did not make a distinction, that's the word maflig, opposed to pligi, which means argue. Since Rabbi Yehuda did not make a distinction, ela b'machshirin, within machshirin he distinguished between efshar mibo'od yom and efshar mibo'od yom, whether you could have done an Erev Yom Tov, you could not have done an Erev Yom Tov. Michlal, this implies the guf ha-machal, that malacha having to do with the food itself, gufa machal shari lasos b'yom tov, that you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, avagavta efshar lasos me'erev Yom Tov, even though you could have done it on Erev Yom Tov. Unlike machshirin, where we have that requirement that it's only mutar when you could not have done it in advance, when it comes to food, even if you could have done it in advance, you could do it on Yom Tov. So then Tosis points out that Diuk is relevant to the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who makes a distinction concerning Machshirin, and from the fact that he only makes that distinction concerning Machshirin and not concerning Ochol Nefesh, that concerning Ochol Nefesh, Rabbi Yehuda would allow it regardless of whether it could have been done or could not have been done in Erev Yom Tov. But there's a Diuk that from Rabbi Yehuda, we could also apply that lack of distinction when it comes to food to the Rabbanan. Umi the Rabbi Yehuda, Nishma the Rabbanan. From Rabbi Huda's view, that there's no distinction concerning Ochol Nefesh, the diuk, the inference that Tosis made just earlier. So we could also infer from that concerning the Rabbanan, that they also would not distinguish concerning Ochol Nefesh, whether it's Efshar or not. Why? The ha, again, since lo pligi alei ela b'machshirin, they only argue on Rabbi Huda concerning Machshirin. So the simple reading of the Gemara Tosis states is that concerning Machshirin, the Chachamim disallow it. They disallow it totally. And they reject the distinction between Efsher and Efsher. Concerning Machshirin, it's always Asur. But concerning food, they never disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda concerning how Rabbi Yehuda views the permit of Ochel Nefesh itself. And since Tosis successfully inferred from Rabbi Yehuda's view that when it comes to food, it's mutter regardless of whether it's possible on Erev Yom Tov or not possible on Erev Yom Tov. And the Chachamim never voiced an objection to that. So the Chachamim would agree, presumably, to that stance. This is a general principle in terms of being medayik and inferring from the implications of various debates in the Tanoim and the Amoraim. It's called Lav Bazeh Pligi, that we only have a right to assume that that which they directly argued about is the point of argument, but they don't necessarily argue about other points that are implicit in one of the views. So if Rabbi Yehuda, we successfully proved, holds that Ochel Nefesh is mutter, regardless of whether it's Efshar or Efshar Mibod Yom, or could have been done or not, couldn't have been done in Erev Yom Tov, so the Chachamim never debated that point, so we have no right to assume that they do debate that point. I just mentioned as an aside that the Or Zeruah has a different read of the Smachlokas between the Rabbanan and the Chachamim, and he actually maintains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the distinction between whether it could have been done in Erev Yom Tov or could not have done in Erev Yom Tov is relevant both to Ochel Nefesh and to Machshirin. And according to the Chachamim, Machshirin are always Aser, and even with respect to Ochel Nefesh, similar to his understanding of Yehuda, it's also only Mutar when it's impossible to do on Erev Yom Tov. So it has a whole different understanding. But the Tosis maintains that not only does Rabbi Yehuda maintain that when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, it's Mutar, even if it could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, but the Rabbanan would agree to that point. At least that's the implication of our Gemara. So now Tosis has a difficulty. Vim Kain, if so, if Ochel Nefesh is always mutter, regardless of whether it could or could not have, could or could not have been done on Erev Yom Tov, Kasha, it's difficult to Amar B'Ferek HaMatznia. Gemara in the 10th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, Tov Tzadi Heimer Aleph. The Brisa says as follows, Acholei v'magabein v'machabeitz v'aroda chalos dvash, Shabbos Chayev Chatas, when it's done b'shogeg, that's when you bring Korban Chatas, and hazed b'yomtif, if one did it on purpose, on yomtif, lokes arboim, you get malchus. Now, of course, the implication of that brisa, direct implication, is that it's also in a Torah. It's only things that are also in a Torah, that you're Chayev Chatas on Shabbos for doing it b'shogeg, and Chayev Malchus on yomtif for doing it b'mezid. What are these items? So Cholev, of course, is milking. Hamagabein is making cheese. And simply speaking, if you're taking the curds that were already coagulated by the addition of some kind of rennet or some kind of item that coagulates it, and then you push it together into some kind of mold. Hamachabeitz, there are different interpretations too. We'll just state one of them, that it's a reference to making butter. Varoda chalas dvash, that you're taking honeycombs out of the beehive. So the Brisa states that, according to the first opinion, that it's Asim in a Torah on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and then the Gemara records the opinion of the Chachamim that Zev is Zemishim Shavus, that both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, it's only Asim Rabbanan. So it's not our topic for now, but the Rishonim have a debate as to which parts of those four items that are listed, Acholev, Hamagabein, Hamachabeis, Varech HaLastvash, which of those do the Chachamim disagree with? Is it all of them, that according to the Chachamim, even milking is Aser Rabbanan? Or is it only some of them? So that's not our topic that's discussed in Masechta Shabbos and elsewhere by the Rishonim and the Poskim. So now, Tosis has the following diuk. He seems to take this at face value that all four are debated, that the Rabbanan hold that they're only Aser Rabbanan. And then he writes as follows. Vafil Rabbanan, the Amri Hasam, Echad Zeh, Ein Bo Ele Mishim Shavus, as we briefly stated earlier, that the Rabbanan hold that both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, it's only a Shavus, it's only us, the Rabbanan. But Mikol Mikol, nevertheless, Modu, they would agree, Hecha De'ika Av Malacha De'loke, that where there is an Av Malacha, meaning where there is a prohibited activity, you'd get Malkus. Now, what Tosis is driving at is as follows. Cholev, milking a cow, is an example of an activity that theoretically could have been done perhaps on Erev Yom Tov. Megabein is certainly an activity that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara and Shabbos stuff, I think Kuflamid Gimel Amid Aleph, or maybe Kuflamid Dalamid Aleph points out, and that's our experience, that cheese gets better with age. So certainly making cheese could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. And the same with Mechavitz, making butter, and the same with the Rodech Al Zvash of taking honey out of the beehive. So those are all malachos that theoretically are ochel nefesh, but they could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, exactly the topic that Tosis wants to discuss. So Tosis points out, well, indeed, the Chachamim hold that are only Asa Derabanan, but Min HaTorah, they would all be mutar. But Tosis has a diuk. The only reason that they're Asa Derabanan, they're Asa Derabanan even on Shabbos, even though there's no permit for ochel nefesh, so is because for whatever reason, which is not a topic for now, milking does not qualify as a malacha, and cheese making does not qualify as a malacha, nor butter making, nor taking the honeycombs out of the beehive. So Tosis makes the following diuk, the following inference, that had there been a malacha dealing with food that would have been usur on Shabbos, and it's the type of malacha dealing with food that could have been done in advance, then that very same halacha would be usur min haTorah, both on Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov, because of the fact that it could have been done in advance. And that, presumably, is what links all of these four malachos, the milking and the cheese making and the butter making and the honey extraction, that these are malachos that could have been done in advance. And that's precisely why, had they qualified as malachos, due to a technicality, they don't qualify as malachos, not even on Shabbos. But had they qualified as malachos, and that would be relevant to parallel malachos that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, that those would be aser, not only on Shabbos would they be aser in the Torah, but they would also be aser on Yom Tov. And that's exactly against the implication of our Gemara, where Tosis took the pains to point out that our Gemara seems to directly imply that when it comes to Ochel Nefesh itself, unlike Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, there is no distinction to whether it could or could not have been done on Erev Yom Tov. So this is Tosis' question, Astira, contradiction in our Gemara, which implies that Ochel Nefesh is always Mutter, regardless of whether it could or could not have been done on Erev Yom Tov, and the Gemara in Shabbos, which implies that even though granted those particular Malachos are Aster Rabbanan, according to the Chachamim, for some kind of technicality, but Malachos similar to them, that deal with food, if they could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, those actually would be Asur Min HaTorah. So this is a question that occupies many, many Rishonim, the Balei HaTosis in different places, and the other Rishonim as well, and they all give different answers. Very fundamental discussion in terms of what exactly is Mutter on Yom Tov Min HaTorah, what's Mutter totally. Tosis' answer is as follows, Yesh Lomar. Could answer as follows: the vadai ochel nefesh hamiskalkel im osehu me esmo. Certainly, food, which malacha having to deal with food, which would at least incrementally get worse if you did it the previous day. Take for example, you make soup. So soup that is made fresh tastes better. Bread that's baked fresh, cakes, etc. They taste better when they're fresh and not the day old. So those, mutter lasos b'yom tov, those for sure may be done on Yom Tov. Even though technically you could have done it before, but it'll taste bad. So therefore it's mutter to, or worse, so it's mutter to be done on Yom Tov. Afal ochel nefesh, the odif tvei, kishu osi me'esmol, but food that's better when you do it yesterday, when you do it the day before, when it is done the day before, kigon ha'udah matzniyah, such as the examples that are mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, also lasosa b'yom tov, then you're actually not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Of course, the implication of Tosis, since he's trying to resolve the Gemara on Shabbos, which implies that if not for some technicality, they would have been asur min haTorah, that kind of ochel nefesh malacha that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov is actually asur min haTorah. Tosis implies that all four of those malachos will taste better, adiv tvei, will taste better if done in advance. So it's a little hard to see how that's true for all of them. Some of them, perhaps, yes, but milk, a cholev, presumably tastes better when you do it fresh. With megabain, it's easier to see because older cheese is better. Perhaps the same is true for butter. Honey seems to be pretty neutral, depending on when you take it. It doesn't seem to get better with age, so it's a little hard to see how Tosis applied it to that Gemara. We'll come back a little later. This would actually be a proof to a certain understanding of Tosis. But let's continue to the end, and then we'll elaborate a bit more. Aval machshirin, but when it comes to machshiri ochel nefesh, again, when you're repairing the utensils that are utilized in the production of food, the knife, the oven, etc., the lo miskalkel kishanasu miesmo, if I sharpen the knife in advance, it's certainly not going to even incrementally get worse. The same with a fridge repair, an oven repair, etc. There, certainly, one can make a distinction, as indeed Rabbi Yehuda does, between where it's possible to have done in advance and where it's not possible to do in advance. When it comes to food, so food gets incrementally worse when you prepare in advance. So there's no distinction between whether you could have done it or could not have done it in advance. So what exactly is the distinction between the types of ochel nefesh that are mutter min haTorah and the types of ochel nefesh that, again, according to Tosis, that are awesome in haTorah? So here we have different approaches as to how to read this Tosis. We have the following problem between the distinction that Tosis makes, because he starts by saying that food that's miskalkel, that gets incrementally worse when you do it in advance, so that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But then he contrasts that with food, the odif tfei, that gets incrementally better when you do it in advance, that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, and that's even awesome in haTorah. But of course, there's a category right in the middle, that it neither gets worse nor does it get better. And many items of food are like that, where if you did it in advance, it would taste exactly the same as if you did it on Yom Tov. So what should be the status of that falls into the cracks? Is that like the similar to the food preparation melacha that gets incrementally better, and therefore it's aser do on Yom Tov? Or is that similar to that which incrementally gets worse, and therefore it's mutter do on Yom Tov? So this is a machlokes achrona. The Marsha understands the Tosis to mean that getting better is lav dafka. The main criterion here is that if it gets worse, then it's mutter do on Yom Tov. But if it stays the same or it gets better, then it is aser to do on Yom Tov. So that would help explain the honey case, because the honey case seems to be the same. Perhaps it's true for butter too. It still doesn't help explain the milk case, because with milk it seems to get worse if it's day old. The other achronim I saw in the more recent edition of the Gemara, the Oz V'Hodra, they quote from one of the achronim, the Ginzei Yosef, that no, the way to read the Tosis is as follows: most food preparation gets incrementally worse when it's a day old. Most food preparation is better fresh. And the way he reads the Tosis, again, to read it inside, the Vaday Ochel Nefesh HaMiskalkel, meaning Ochel Nefesh, which generally, not only in a case where, but which generally gets incrementally worse, so that's Mutter Du on Yom Tov. And even if you have a case where it stays exactly the same, it's still in that category, and it's Mutter Du on Yom Tov. Then he writes the unusual case of Ochel Nefesh, the Odiv Tfei, but a food preparation item that gets incrementally better, again, the clear-cut one is cheese making, so that is Oser Min HaTorah to do on Yom Tov. So this, of course, has a big nafkamina lamasa in terms of what kinds of malachas are you allowed to do. If you have a given food item that would taste exactly the same had you done it on Erev Yom Tov or not. So according to the understanding of the Ginzi Yosef within Tosis, that would certainly be allowed. According to the Rasha's understanding within Tosis, that actually might be Oser Min HaTorah. So just expanding a bit, This topic, as I mentioned earlier, is dealt with by many Rishonim. And just to contrast a bit into what other approaches have been given, Tosas and Masech the Shabbos of Sadehem Aleph, the Gemara that Tosas raises the difficulty and contradiction of the Gemara Megillah, who asks the same contradiction, answers in a totally different fashion. That Gemara that implies that Malachos dealing with Ochel Nefesh, had it not been technically putter for some reason concerning the four that are listed in Shabbos, but had it been a food malacha that could have been done in advance, that it would be awesome in a Torah, that's an incorrect implication. Tosis maintains that fundamentally, that's also mutter min ha-Torah on Yom Tif. And the only reason that the Gemara is directly implying in Shabbos that they would have been chayiv is because he gives an okimta that we're dealing with a special case of where they're done close to nightfall, or as an alternative, that we're dealing with rotten food, so it's not fit for eating. And if it's not fit for eating, it can't be called ochel nefesh. And if it can't be called ochel nefesh, then you get malchus for doing it on Yom Tov. But if we're dealing with an ordinary case of a malacha that is going to be, the results of which are going to be used on Yom Tov, even though it could have been done on Erev Yom Tov, it is not asam in HaTorah. Tosas in Shabbos refers to the fact that there is a Gemara in Shabbos later in Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph that we spoke about, that cheese making is also on Shabbos, and it's at least Aster Rabbanan. So Tosas seems to agree that certain malachos that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov are at least Aster Rabbanan, but they're not Aser Min HaTorah. Unlike our Tosas, that malachos that would produce food that would have gotten better had you done an Erev Yom Tov would be Aser Min HaTorah. But Tosas and Shabbos also it's only Aser Derabanan. Is that a general rule that anything that could have been done in advance is at least Aser Derabanan? So this is a massive discussion that's relevant to the very fundamental principles of Hilchos Yom Tov. One could distinguish between different malachos, such as cheese making, which touches upon bona, versus bishel, since most bishel gets incrementally worse when it's not fresh, even if you have a particular food that would remain the same. Maybe that's totally mutter. That seems to be the view of the Rambam, and that we only distinguish between malachos that could have been done in advance, such as harvesting and the things of that nature and grinding, that those malachos that could have been done in advance, so those are at least Aster Rabbanan on Yom Tov. But malachos that generally would incrementally get worse had you done them on Erev Yom Tov can be done on Yom Tov, even midrabban. Bottom line is machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramo as to whether there's a distinction between the core malachos that are mutter on Yom Tov, such as a bishul and the like, whether there's a distinction between whether it could have been done on Erev Yom Tov or not. According to Mechaber, there's no distinction. According to Ramo, we are machmer on that. And if one didn't do it in advance, you'd at least require a shinui in order to allow it on Yom Tov. Where the shinui comes from is not a topic for now. But all agree that for one reason or another, there are certain malachos that at least are abundant, maybe min haTorah, even though they're food related, that may not be done on Yom Tov. And a classic example of that is harvesting or trapping animals. And as to exactly the reason why is very much related to discussion that started by our Tosas. Zayin Rebeis, Tosas Rilam Aschol Chai Vekrisis Bechlal Hoyu. Just to review the major issues in the Gemara that Tosas is referring to. There are two camps in Tanoim, the camp of Rabbi Yitzchok on the one hand, and the camp of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, and possibly the Chachamim as well on the other camp. Rabbi Yitzchok maintains that Chayiv Krisis, those liable to occur as punishment, never get Malkus. Whether they warn them, the perpetrator, for Malkus or not, he never gets Malkus. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel holds, not only if you warn someone who violates an Issa Kares that he's going to get Malkus if he does so, that not only does he get Malkus, but the Malkus exempts and removes the heavenly Kares punishment. The Gemara discussed two different possibilities as to whether or not the Chachamim, meaning the Chaverim, do they argue on Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that even though they agree that if someone warns someone who violated an Issa Kares that he's going to get Malkus if he does so, that there would indeed be Malkus, but they might argue on Rambam Gamliel and hold that the Malkus does not remove the Koris punishment, that in which case he'd get Malkus and he'd also have a heavenly punishment of Koris, of course, if he doesn't do tshuva. Gemara pointed out that that might not be true. It could be that everyone's in agreement with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, other than Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds there's never Malkus, but that if you argue on Rabbi Yitzchak, that there will be Malkus, and at least if there's warning, and that will indeed remove the Koris punishment. That was the discussion of the Gemara as it tied into our Mishnah here. Within Rabbi Yitzchak's statement, so the Gemara presents a Braisa, Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayve Krisis Bechlal Hayu. The Chayve Krisis were included in the rule. That's going to be the topic of Tosis, what exactly is meant by the rule. V'lama Yatz is Kares Bachoso. Why did Kares leave the rule concerning Kares, concerning relations with his sister? Laduna Bekares, to judge her, or according to another gear, so Laduno, to judge it, for Kares, V'lo Lamalkis. So somehow the exception to the rule of Achoso concerning Kares tells you that there's no Malkus for any Chayvei Krisis. So what exactly is meant by this drasha? This is the topic of Tosis. So by contrast, Rashi, which Tosis is whom Tosis is going to argue on, maintains that the way to read that drasha is as follows: Chayvei Krisis bechlal hayu. In Parshas Acharei Mos, the Torah describes various arayos, among other prohibitions, and as describing the prohibitions, it does not specifically mention what the punishment for violating those prohibitions are. At the very end of Parshas Acharei Mos, the Torah suffices with a general statement that one who violates any of the above, v'nichrasu hanafashos ha'osos, that they are all cut off and they get kares. In Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah then repeats those prohibitions without saying that they are prohibited, just saying that if you do them, the following punishment applies. So for several of those prohibitions, there are chiyuv emises based in. For some of them, the Parshas Kedoshim describes that the punishment is ariri, which we're not our topic for now. And for two of those averos that are mentioned in Parshas Acharei Mos as being prohibited, the Torah describes, concerning the prohibition of relations with a sister, achoso, that it's kares, and concerning relations with anida, also the Torah describes in Parshas Kedoshim that there is kares. So these two lavim, these negative commandments of relations with a sister and relations with anida, described in Acharei Mos as being prohibited, and summarized at the end of Parshas Acharei Mos, that all of them are v'nichrasu, they all have kares to them, was spelled out again in Parshas Kedoshim as having kares. So Rashi explains that concerning Nida, that's a separate drasha, which is not a topic for now. But concerning Achoso, that's exactly what Rabbi Yitzchak means by this drasha. Chayve krisis bechlal hayu, that all chayve krisis were included in the general kares that's pronounced on all of the averos mentioned, the lavin mentioned in Parshas Acharei Mos. V'lama yotzis kares b'achoso. Laduna Bekares. Why was Kares mentioned again, specifically concerning the sister in Parshas Kedoshim? Laduna Bekares v'lova Malkus, that she is judged with Kares and not with Malkus. According to Rashi, the Chayve Krisis Bechlal Hayu, that the Chlal, the rule that the Chayve Krisis were in, is the general statement in Parshas Acharei Mos, that anyone who violates one of those negative commandments mentioned in Parshas Acharei Mos gets kares. To read that inside the Tosfos, Chayvei Krisis Bechlal Hayu, Pirush HaKuntres, Bechlal V'nichrasu HaNefashos HaOsos, that is what is meant by the word Bechlal in the general rule of the kares mentioned at the end of Parshas Acharei Mos as a general punishment for all the ones who violated the various lavin spelled out there. So Tosfos has a kasha on this interpretation of Rashi, and therefore gives his own interpretation. Bekasha, it's difficult. Im kain, if that is what is meant by the word bechlal, that it means the general kares that is pronounced on all those who violate the lavin of Parshas Acharei Mos, which include achoso. Im kain, havele lameimar achoso bechlal hoisa. Rather than the Gemara quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, the Braisa quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, saying chayve krisus bechlal hoya, as if it's talking about all chayvei krisis, since the main focus is on the specific negative commandment of achoso, which is punished with kares, it should have specifically highlighted achoso. And it should have said, the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak, achoso bichlal hoisa, kilomar, meaning, bichlal v'nichrisu hanafashot, in that general kares that's pronounced at the end of Parshas Achrimos. In other words, the Gemara should have said, instead of chai v'krisus bichlal hoyu, it should have said, achoso bichlal hoisa, that the prohibition of achoso was in that rule of kares. By saying chai v'krisus bichlal hoyu, all the chai v'krisus were included in v'nichrisu, that seems to be way beyond what the Gemara is focusing on, because the Gemara is not focusing on all the chai v'krisus being bichlal, but rather achoso being in the general rule of kares in the klal, and then achoso leaving that klal in Parshas Kedoshim, where the kares is spelled out specifically with respect to her. So a linguistic diuk, which Tosfos is then going to utilize to show that the Gemara didn't mean as Rashi interpreted, but rather something else entirely. Okay, Tosfos continues. Maybe one extra line we didn't read before. V'lo hayalo lichtov kares ba. And to read the whole line inside the Tosfos, Dim Kain, Havale Lameimar Achoso Bechlal Hoysa, Kilomar Bechlal Venichris Venafashot, Lohoyelo Lichtov Kares Ba, and it should not have written Kares specifically with respect to her. So that's Tosfos Kasha, it should have used the term Achoso Bechlal Hoysa rather than Chayvi Krisis Bechlal Hoyu. So Tosfos therefore interprets the Gemara somewhat differently. V'yesh Lomar. Hachi Perusho, that this is what the Gemara means, against Rashi. Chai v'krisis bichlal hayu, the rule of bichlal hayu is not the rule of kares, but a different rule. All the chai v'krisis were bichlal hayu pirish, meaning bichlal hamalkios. And that's exactly the topic of Gemara, that a negative commandment, the default negative commandment, carries with it the penalty of malkis. So Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that chai v'krisis, that are also described as negative commandments, as we recalled and mentioned earlier in Parshas Achrimos, it speaks about don't have relations with a sister, don't have relations with a brother's wife, don't have relations with a sister of a wife, etc. They're all negative commandments, and therefore the default should have been Bechlal HaMalkius, that one could receive Malkus with warning, which is exactly the view of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that would be your default position, that they could be Bechlal Malkus. Divachol achas v'achas, Tosfos elaborates in each one, yesh lav, there is a negative commandment. So all chai v'krisus should have been bechlal malkus. And then, Rabbi Yitzchak continues, v'loma yotzis kares b'achoso b'lo lav, somewhat of a different reading from Rashi. Not that the kares of achoso is repeated twice, one in general, as a general rule in Parshas Achrimos, and one as a specific kares for achoso in Parshas Kedoshim, but rather, in Parshas Achrimos, there's a negative commandment, don't have relations with a sister, and then it pronounces a general rule of kares for all of them. But it's a negative commandment, so a negative commandment is supposed to get malchus. But when it comes to Parshas Kedoshim, as we mentioned, there it doesn't mention the negative commandment. It just says that if you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. So concerning achoso, all it says that one who has relations with achoso gets kares, and it doesn't mention a negative commandment. So that's what's meant by the yotzisa min haklal. Again, in the words of Tosfos, v'lama yotzis kares b'achoso below lav, why was the kares concerning relations with a sister mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim without the negative commandment of don't have relations with a sister? Shere, what are you going to say? It's just trying to tell you the punishment, and that's why it didn't have to repeat the negative commandment. Sherei akareis lo itzterich. The kareis for achosa didn't have to be stated. Sherei hoisa bechlal v'nichrisu. It was already in the v'nichrisu of Parshas Achrimos. So the whole pasuk seems to be redundant. The negative commandment is not mentioned again. The kareis was already known from the general kareis mentioned at the end of Parshas Achrimos. So why did the Torah repeat the kareis of Parshas of achosa without a negative commandment? Without stating the prohibition again, alavadai. So this certainly must be yotisa laduna bikares. The Torah is trying to judge her, and of course the one who had relations with her as well, with kares, without mentioning the negative commandment, that it's not punishable by dint of the regular punishment of a negative commandment, which is malchus. The Bach even adds a girsa Laduna Bekaris Velo Lamalkis. And that's why I didn't mention the negative commandment, to show you that you don't receive the regular punishment of a regular lav. Umina Nigmar, and from it, from Achoso, we learn out and extend it Lachol Ha'acherim to all Chayvei Krisus, Kedin Dovar Shehoye Bechlal, like the rule of a something that was in the rule. Tos is alluding to, of course, to something in the later in the toward the end of the list of Rabbi Yishmael that we say in the Davening Karbonis, Rabbi Yishmael Ha'yomer B'Shloshes Remidus Tzarnos Dreshes Ben. So there is a rule that Dovar Shehoye Bechlal V'Yotzes Min HaKlal Lamed Lo Lamed Al Atzmo Yotza Ela Lamed Al HaKlal Kula Yotza. That's something that wasn't a general rule and went out to teach you a new idea. So it didn't only come to teach you about itself, it came to teach you about the entire rule. So here we have Achoso, which was included in the general rule. What general rule? According to the way Tos interprets it, that there's a lav, which some of which have chayve creases to them. And the default would have been that even though there's a chi of karis, there could also be a chi of malchus. Whether it eliminates the Chi of Karis or doesn't eliminate the Chi of Karis is not a topic for now, but that would have been the default position, that it's part of a regular lav that can be Chayv Malkus if you give a warning for Malkus. Comes along Achoso and in Parshas Kedoshim, leaves the rule. How did it leave the rule? By the Torah indicating that it's Chayv Karis, not mentioning the lav, implying that the lav is irrelevant here because it's not going to be Malkus anyway. So it teaches you about itself that there's never Malkus for Achoso. So since it taught you about itself, it not only teaches you about itself, but teaches you about the entire rule that it exited, that all the lavin that have karas to them are not going to get malchus ever. So, a quick summary. For Rashi, the klal is the klal of karas. For Tosis, the klal is the klal of malchus. And according to Rashi, the way you read it, is that all the chayvei krisus were included in karas. Why did Achoso leave that klal of karis for its own karis, to teach you that it's karis and not malchus? And once again, Rashi would agree to the last line of Tosus, that is an instantiation of the principle of davar shehoye bechlal v'yotzeh min haklal, lo lelamed el atzmo yotzeh, elo lamed el haklal kulo yotzeh, to teach you about that all chayvei krisus and not chayv malchus. According to Tosus, the way to read it is that chayvei krisus were bechlal hayu, meaning all chayvei krisus were in the general rule of malchus. And Achoso left the klal of general malchus by having kares, implying no lav, no malchus, to teach you not only about itself, but about the others. Ultimately, Rashi and Tosis both have the same view of what Rabbi Yitzchak holds, that there's no kares for chavi malchus. They're just arguing as to what the dynamic of the drasha is.